Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
We've seen the story before. We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
When did we become machines that we get triggered and we can't control ourselves?
Great question.
I also like to apologize for burning down our house when I was 7 years old. Oh man, I don't remember ever apologizing for that. But
when did we become machines that we get triggered?
Welcome to Point of Contention: Five Subjects, 5 Minutes, 5 Points of Contention. I'm Zach Harper. Jade Hoyt is producing. Coming up on the show: Jokic brothers, Eastern Promise. Ben who? Warriors title bound? Dame blaming other people? Let's get to the show. In this corner, a very special guest. Actress, writer, star of the hit ESPN show Sports Nation, former host of NBA Countdown, the good version, star of Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, and now, most importantly, host of a new podcast on The Athletic called What Did I Miss? The one and only Michelle Beadle. Michelle, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. This is my first real thing out of hibernation, so bear with me.
2 years off. What Did I Miss? Debuts 11-15.
Hibernation, bear with me. Wow.
Do you like it?
Bear in part, right off the top.
There you go.
Already killing it.
What Did I Miss? Debuts November 15th. New episodes Monday, Wednesday, Friday. The show will cover all sports, pop culture, and whatever the hell Michelle has thoughts on. Michelle recently started working for the Spurs as a special correspondent. How about that? Go Spurs, go. Michelle, welcome back. Is this what you pictured when you got back into things?
I pictured never getting back into things.
Oh, okay.
But it turns out I haven't won the lottery yet. And so, you know what? Maybe I'll go back to work a little bit at a time. But yeah, I got used to not working. So I have to ease myself back into the workforce. There. Everyone's been killing it while I'm not there. And so I'm nervous.
You got FOMO? Is that what happened? You're just like, I got to get in this.
No, not at all. Oh, no FOMO.
Okay. You just got bored. That's all. You just got bored. All right. In this corner, from the soft streets of Longmeadow, Massachusetts, Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book, Smart Decisions, A Celtics Guide to Good Offense, it's Jay the Kid King. Jay, what's up?
Sorry, we
don't have a lot of time because Michelle's here. We'll move on to in the other corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. It's the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, we don't really have time for that either. Michelle, quick question before we start. Space Jam 2 or Squid Game?
Squid Game, also anything else in the world.
Space Jam 2 was awful.
It's
Space
so
Jam
bad.
2 yeah. is an it's an insult. I'm offended. It triggered me, if you will.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't believe you paid attention enough. Like, you know.
No, I would never watch it.
I mean,
it, right?
I went, you know, a bunch of girls, they ate popcorn, I was on my phone. Like, yo, entertaining
I shut
kids.
It off halfway through.
I can't believe you went. Like, for a guy who doesn't want to be compared to someone so much.
No, but look, my daughter wanted to see it. I will not deprive her of her Basketball Jones. So she took some friends.
Had she seen the first one?
Yeah, we watched the first one. Fair enough. No question. I can't show her Space Jam 2 without one. It's like a requirement.
Wild decision, yeah. If you want to read a review of Space Jam, go to theathletic.com and subscribe. I wrote one, I don't know, some months ago. It's fine. Let's start the clock, Jade. WW Eastern promises Denver Nuggets Nikola Jokic suspended one game, just one measly game, for a cheap shot on Miami Heat's Markieff Morris Monday night. Jokic was ejected with 2:39 left in a 113-96 win over the Heat after he took exception to a foul by Morris in the ribs. Jokic rebounded the ball, brought it down the court. When he passed the ball near midcourt, Jade, the take.
And Jokic, oh no! Keep the players on the bench. No. Not sure what set Jokic off.
Emotion spilled onto Twitter as the brothers of both NBA players weighed in. Morris twin Marcus chimed in on the old Twitter machine, hinting that Jokic shoving his twin brother from behind was shady, that he'll remember it. Quote, waited till bro turned his back. SMH noted. That then prompted the Jokic brothers
two names I'm not going to... Oh, I know Nemanja. I know how to say that. The other one, Strahinja, that's, we'll just say that, to open a Twitter account named at Jokic Brothers, which was confirmed to be their real Twitter account. It follows one account. It's Jamal Murray. The newly created account said, "You should leave this the way it is instead of publicly threatening our brother. Your brother made a dirty play first. If you want to make a step further, be sure we will be waiting for you." Then Morris chirped in, "You got the right ones. Believe that." The Jokic brothers replied, "I don't believe that. I know that." That doesn't really make sense. What is happening, Michelle? Was Jokic's hit dirty, or is this just Eastern Euro grit?
Eastern Euro. First of all, Jokic brothers, I'm not messing with them. Secondly, people. Look, anytime you shove someone from the back and they have no idea it's coming, sure, I guess you could call it dirty. Now, to say that Morris didn't know it was coming, I don't believe that. I'm sure he knew the minute he did what he did, something was coming. I love this personally. I know some people get all in a tizzy about it, but for me, it's just a reminder of the physicality of it, what you can have. I also love the idea that we're going to have some sort of a rumble backstage, if you will, between the brothers, both sides. I'm in. I'm a fan of all of this. And look, Jokic is a human just like the rest of us. Retaliation is part of what we do. I'm good with it.
Jay, you love big white guys. Are you riding with Jokic here, or are you going to have a little skin in the game for the Morris twins?
So here's the thing. I firmly believe the Morris twins are the toughest brothers in basketball.
I do not.
The Jokic brothers are the only worthy challengers. They are. One of them is he does Muay Thai, whatever, however you say it. I don't even know how to pronounce
it. That right.
He fights it. And he kicks guys' asses too, and he's huge, and he's tattooed, and I wouldn't want to mess with him. The only thing I take real issue with in this whole controversy is Markieff Morris getting mad about getting shoved in the back. He hit Jokic and then immediately turned around. Of course he's going to get shoved in the back. Where else was he going to get shoved? If you hit somebody and then turn around, you should expect to be hit in the back. Jokic handled it the way that he should have. And the NBA should not be suspending people for just shoves. I don't think that should be part of this game. I'm a big allow shoving guy. It makes everything more interesting.
Big allow shoving guy.
Pro shoving would have worked.
Wow. And of course, you know that the Nuggets have history with the Morris brothers, particularly Marcus Morris.
Yeah, Markieff's a big guy, but Jokic,
that's why you're the better writer.
Jokic is the size of a water buffalo, Marcus. Like, this is, to have someone hit your spine unknowingly is a little dangerous. Where are you on this?
First off, he went down like Ezell in Friday, huh? Like, he should have just screamed, "My neck, my back,
my back,
my neck and my back. First off, it must be said, Jokic was like, what, 6 during the Yugoslav wars? Like, they're really cut from that cloth. I'm just saying, I'm not saying don't wage into the beef. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, you know, beef is when your moms ain't safe up in the streets, right? But just know you fighting with dudes who were born in a culture where real wars happen. Not like little turf wars, pity-pat, pop-pop, but like, bombs drop, right? Like cultural clashes where, you know, weather is a factor. Like, I mean, this is like some real stuff, right? Like, you're waging through epic snow. Like, I'm not saying the Morris brothers aren't tough enough to take it on, but just know who you're dealing with. This isn't your normal tatted white guy trying to be tough because he listened to Vanilla Ice. Like, these dudes are about that life.
Hold on. I'm sure it's G-Eazy now, okay? It's not just Vanilla Ice.
Wait,
it's
probably Machine. G-Eazy is from Oakland. We're just not going to put him in the Vanilla Ice category. That's a different level.
That's, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm with Marcus on that.
It's the same thing.
With that said, come on. I'm riding with Markieff and Mark. Let's go. First off, you got to be a savage to even step to them dudes. And you got to give them credit for that because everybody else.
When did they step to him, Marcus?
They did.
On Twitter?
Come on.
They couldn't because their mother told them not to.
No, come on.
Their mother told them to
perfect cover.
So tell me, why did the Jokic brothers wage into this thing?
Because they're insane people.
No, because they were responding to Markieff. They were saying, like, hold on, keep it on the court because How many dudes wouldn't even say anything? How many dudes would apologize knowing the two Serbian like gangsters are in the crowd? Like them dudes are like, exactly, all right, let's go.
Let's I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Michelle, now, look, I want to know
they
if you
bowed
agree with
out a little bit afterwards.
I'm looking at the brothers, like, no way, man.
First of all, I take a huge exception with Jay saying that's the toughest duo in the league.
It's clearly Klay Thompson
brothers.
And Steph Curry.
The Lopez right. brothers are insane.
It's clearly
okay?
The Splash brothers.
Okay, but they're not tough.
The Lopez brothers, nah,
the Lopez
nah,
brothers,
nah,
no, sure. They are insane
they're
people.
But Serge hit him with the one piece.
They're insane people. Okay, they fight like giraffes. Like I'm telling you, go watch giraffes fat. Giraffes fight.
Giraffes
no.
don't fight.
Are you
man.
Serious? No, they swing their necks like.
Oh, you got a giraffe.
YouTube.com. YouTube.com. Okay. I want you to check that
at
out.
At all, but right? That's hella cute.
I'm telling you,
giraffes fight.
This is what happened. I'm telling you, and Michelle, I want to know if you agree with this. Marcus Morris was just like, "Oh, you hit my brother after he turned his back." Noted. And then the Jokic brothers tweeted, he found out who the Jokic brothers were. They had videos sent and they're like, oh yeah, mom told me not to do it, so I'm not going to fight. That's what happened. Nah. I guarantee it.
I mean, that is fair. I also, I appreciate the noted. It's very civilized. It is, yeah. It's very proper. But yeah, look, all you have to do is Google these two dudes. They're terrifying. I don't care who you are. And the Morris twins are obviously, that's what they're known for. Teams want them. So they're the tough guys. I love them because of that. But there's tough in the basketball sense. And then there's tough as
life.
In we can kill you and have your body just and no one ever know what happened. And I go Jokic on this one. I'm not messing with those two dudes.
I can't believe ever. The disrespect of the Lopez brother. You guys trust adults that love
like
Disney? That's the craziest thing you can do.
You can't trust them.
I mean,
you
don't they lose them. Tough I mean, points you fight by going them, to Stanford? Like...
Wow.
I'm just saying. Wow. I'm good just saying. Lord. What happened there? All right.
But also, we can't just overlook the Heat, the entire Heat roster being out looking for smoke. We Jeff need Butler. To point that out. I mean, because but, Jimmy okay. Butler, PJ Tucker, Kyle
what's,
Lowry.
What's the photographer was there?
Yes, they made look they like they wanted it. All right.
You know me. I love the Heat.
Jimmy was out there on the court.
Yeah, once there were 20 people.
Yeah, but it was a lot of holding
yes,
back.
Like, he was next to Jokic, and then he was 20 people in between, and then he's like, oh, come on.
But see, that Heat roster was ready for it. Where credit is due, right? Listen,
Tyler Hero
is it the toughest thing in the world? Is it the toughest thing in the world? No. But it's tougher than the people who sat quietly on the side, like, I don't want to get in this. At least somebody put something on record, you know, like
what performative.
Better than nothing. That's all I'm saying. There's some people who hide under the table. There's some people who are too scared to say something. Jimmy at least went as far as the hold me back, which gets you at least a gold star.
You know how
maybe
I know it wasn't
star.
Taken seriously is because Udonis Haslem was laughing the whole time Jimmy was yelling. That's how I know. Udonis will get a serious face when it's time to go. And it was not. Remember when he and David West went face to face and like the earth shook? That's when you know. They didn't even do anything. And it was like the earth started shaking because they went forehead to forehead. That's when you know shit's about to go down. We didn't get that here.
Udonis and the Morris brothers versus the three Jokic brothers. Who
I'm in. I will pay for that. I'll pay $70 pay for
it. Yeah, Zach, you sleep on the Morris brothers.
We need it.
I think you sleep on the Morris brothers, Zach.
Yeah, you can bring the other three into it. You're I'm taking the two yoga. I don't even care if Nikola is there. I'll take the two crazy Serbian dudes that are his size, by the way.
I don't think Nikola should waste his hands.
No, he shouldn't.
Those are two.
By the way, this is not going to be a popular opinion before we move on the internet, but it needs to be said. Jokic, dirty player. This is the thing. He does this constantly.
He got hit first.
No, I'm telling you, he's a dirty player. This was retaliation, the Heat said, to what he was doing all night. He's someone that puts elbows in necks, puts elbows in the upper back constantly. He did the thing with Cameron Payne. He's done this before. He's a poor sport. Once he got swept, he started pouting and yelling and throwing a fit. This is behavior that is a pattern with him. And I'll just say this. Flops more than James Harden, complains more than Chris Paul. Everyone seems to love him online. I wonder why that is. Oh. All right, let's move on to the next subject.
I wasn't even going to bring racism too, and you did it. You just did it. I know what you
what
did.
How did I do
I was
that? What
say,
are you talking about?
Only reason people are siding with, I'm going to let it go. You said it. You go ahead. You go
I didn't
ahead
say, what are you, I just brought up a question.
Mm-hmm. Zaza dirty or like
oh, Zaza,
dirty?
Zaza's
like,
dirty.
Zaza's
dirty.
Zaza's dirty. Zaza's dirty. Dirty
yeah.
For me,
I mean Georgia, Serbia, you know.
No, Zaza makes like Jokic it. Look like the nicest kid in the world. So yes, Zaza right? is the worst at this for sure. All right.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Take two! Ben Hoomst? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the saga with player 2-5 continues, but... any twist nobody saw coming, the 76ers are pretty good. Can you believe this? They're 8-4 at the time of this recording. They lost to the Bucks Tuesday night, but they're 8-4. Meanwhile, trade rumors keep swirling. Shams Charania reported the Sixers and Celtics are flirting with each other via trade. Jaylen Brown, anyone? Concurrently, in case you didn't know, 25 met with 76ers coach Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, and the entire team on October 22nd. Informed them,
not mentally ready to play yet.
It has been a rocky road ever since, including Simmons shunning teammates from a meeting with him in L.A. before training camp, reporting to camp late, being kicked out of his third practice with the team for failing to follow Doc Rivers' request to enter a defensive drill. Jade, play the tape.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now.
When you say get in the gym with him, what needs to be done?
Get the fuck out of here!
That's between Ben and I.
Thank you.
Currently, the Sixers are testing the validity of Simmons' pursuit of mental health assistance, with multiple sources have told The Athletic's Shams Charania that Simmons has provided the organization with the names of each of his mental health professionals. Marcus, is this fair or unfair? Are the 76ers buzzword bullying Ben Simmons?
No, they're not bullying him. I mean, if this dude's not going to show up for work, he better have a good reason. And I talked to my uncle about this, ain't gonna fly, right? Like, you should be like, oh, yeah, no, we had a couple meetings, we good. It's clear what he's doing, too. This is not like some surprise. We know what he's doing. So you got to at least have a legit reason. So, yeah, I'd make that dude. Yeah, nah, we hear the pre-approved, like the HMO-approved people you need to sit down with. Not like, yeah, you know.
You don't think he's going out of network?
I don't think. I mean, just because you talk with your uncle over a shot of Hennessy, it doesn't count as like the same kind of help we're talking about. I feel that's like.
Strong disagree.
I mean, you're probably right. That's actually probably better than paying like Dr. Belfi. But it doesn't count. That's all I'm saying. They're already doing him a favor by just outright not taking his money. Already off rip. They could be taking his money the whole time, and they're not. So this idea that they're requiring him to do something in lieu of his job, I don't see how that's bullying him at all. It's him trying to take advantage and work his way out. So, yeah, it's fair game to me.
Michelle, what do you think of this Ben Simmons situation as this soap opera continues?
Just such a bad look. I don't know who his closest friends and family or confidants. I don't know who they are. I don't know if he has any that are legitimately looking out for him. Because at this point in the game, how do you not have that one person in your life that just yanks you by the arm and says, what are you doing? Like, this is your one shot at this. This could be a very short career. You're going to kill it. Millions and millions of dollars. And all you have to do is go out there and play basketball. All you have to do is spend a little extra time in the offseason and actually try to get better. These are things that the average person does at whatever jobs they have most of the time. You're getting millions to do it, and now you're getting millions to potentially just go to therapy. What bothers me the most about it is we have to respect this mental health. And I so much respect all the leagues that do their best to try to make everyone embrace it, because there's such a stigma on it. What I don't want to see happen is that people try to use that as their blanket, as that's the thing they're hiding behind. Because now you put everyone in position. What, we're not allowed to question you because that's something you're not allowed to ask about? No. I think this guy needs better friends, better family, better something, because he's blowing it. He's blowing his one shot at doing this, and he's tainted. And I don't know why the Celtics would even entertain the idea of having this guy on their team. I certainly wouldn't want him here in San Antonio. So to me, that's the most confusing part about it. Who's taking him next?
Well, Jay, you do cover the Celtics for The Athletic. Why would the Celtics want him here?
I mean, if they could get him without giving up Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, then yeah, they should probably look into doing that. But otherwise, I just don't see it. He's not as good as either of those guys. He's obviously a tougher fit than either of those guys, especially offensively. There's no reason to trade Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons under any circumstances. Jaylen gets better and better every year. He wants the ball during crunch time, unlike 2-5. So I just have to say, when Marcus started a sentence, I talked to my uncle about this. I was so excited for Uncle Thompson's gems of wisdom.
I thought the same thing. I got super excited, and then he was using it. Yeah,
I was so disappointed not to hear something from Uncle Thompson.
I just can't do it. It's an NDA. It's like an unofficial NDA in those conversations.
But Simmons is like, he's running out of ways to try to force his way
out.
That's
the interesting part, right? Like, at what point does he wave the white flag?
He's used the entire bingo card.
At some point, he's got to wave the white flag. Michelle, you'll know this. You'll know this, Michelle, because you're not just a basketball guy. But remember Le'Veon Bell? Remember Le'Veon Bell was like, yeah, I'm not coming. Yes. And suddenly, here comes James Conner, and it's like, we'll holler at you, Le'Veon. Like, his career was never the same.
Like, you kill it. I don't know. I understand that there are difficult people. I understand that in every regard, every industry, every business, what have you. But at some point, your talent is being far overshadowed by the headache that you bring. And he can keep doing this. You know, if I'm the Sixers, I'm going to be stubborn as well, because now it's just funny. I'm going to make sure that you don't go anywhere else. And that's the way it's going to be, because that's what you've made us do. And even if you do go somewhere else, do you think players on that team are going to be stoked to have this guy who at any given moment can flip the switch and decide, yep, don't want to do this either? I don't think it's a Philly thing. I think it's a Ben Simmons thing. And I don't think it matters where he goes. I wouldn't waste the money or the effort.
I think there's one place.
Somebody will. Because
I think there's one place that I'd love to have him. Sacramento.
Of course, they don't have anybody. That team's.
I know, but that's a place where it's like, yo, we can't be that big.
You haven't watched the Halliburton Mitchell Fox.
That's all they need. Okay. They got the shooters. They like,
check back with me in March, because we do this shit every year. We do the fourth player you mentioned cannot be Rishon Holmes. That's not even how you say his name. That's not even how you say his name. So no, he should have done the James Harden playbook. Show up late. Yeah. Show up fat. Play, be bad, get traded, get in shape, kill it on the next team. That's all you got to do. It's the easiest playbook.
Yeah. Here's the difference between the Ben Simmons trade chatter and all the other trade chatter with superstars. With Ben Simmons, it's his fault. It's his fault they weren't good enough. It's his fault that they haven't gotten past the second round. It's his fault because he has gigantic flaws that has never worked to get rid of them. With Harden, it was everyone else's fault. Everyone else let him know. Well, yeah, obviously he's had some moments to play out,
but I don't know about that.
he almost knocked off the Warriors with a supporting cast that was.
Oh, can we stop with that?
He had four tries.
They were never going to beat the Warriors. Even up 3-2, Chris Paul doesn't get. They were never going to beat the Warriors. You know why? Because it's the Rockets and it's the Warriors. They were never going to do that. It was just going to be soul crushing another way.
I'm just saying. It was the other guy's fault more than James's. This is Ben's fault. He's got to realize that.
I agree with that. I do think it's completely his fault at this point. Bad look.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Maybe someday Ben Simmons will be back. Speaking of being back, take three. The Warriors are back. How about that for a transition? Warriors star guard Stephen Curry scored an NBA season-high 50 points. That's 5-0 in Golden State's 127-113 win over the Atlanta Hawks on Monday night, a performance that left the Hawks announcers rather salty. Jade, play the tape.
Curry with the floater. I mean, okay, he's got 50. Is it really that big a deal?
Obviously.
I mean, you've won championships, you've been an MVP, you're going to the Hall of Fame. What's the big deal about getting 48 or 50? I don't get that.
Curry finished the night 14 of 28 from the field, 9 of 19 from 3, 13 of 13 from the free throw line, while chipping in 10 assists and 7 rebounds in 35 minutes. At age 33, Curry also passed Wilt Chamberlain as the oldest player in NBA history to post a 50-10 game. But that's just a tease. The Warriors are now 9-1 at the time of this recording. They played the Timberwolves last night, probably won, even though we don't get to see the result yet because it's the Timberwolves and it's the Warriors. But like the 76ers, I don't think people saw this coming. It is very early, but nonetheless, is this the best team in the NBA? Marcus, are we feeling 74-8 this year?
Relax.
I will not
calm
relax.
Calm down, man.
75-7.
They've played the softest schedule in the league.
They really haven't played anybody.
and you know, I mean, look, some of the teams that are supposed to be good, they've made them look not really good, right? Like, they caught Charlotte early before they was on the spiral, so you can kind of attribute that to the Warriors. Atlanta is better than what they look, but they blitzed Atlanta, but they still haven't played anybody at their best. But I do think this is great for them because this is what they needed to do. They needed to rack up wins, beat winnable teams, and ease the burden on Klay Thompson. That's it. That's what they need. They needed to ease it so they can be patient with Klay and get this jolt midseason. And it's working out rather perfectly for that, right? I don't think they need to be the best team right now. They need to get into the playoffs, like the real playoffs, not the play-in. And then that's where they're terrifying because now you got Steph, Klay, Draymond, right? You got these young dudes who've had all this, you know, experience in this season. And now it's like, yo, they'd line up against anybody and feel good about their chances. So, no, they're not the best team in the league, but they're scary and they're becoming scarier by the day. And a lot of it has to do with the person you hate the most, Zach. Jordan Poole.
I don't hate him. He's just not. No, he's not Klay Thompson like you were on the propaganda machine. You were
1 week ago, Marcus was ready to put him
exactly.
Center of the gym.
No way. Are you serious?
Now he's taking victory lap.
There's no tape. There's no such tape.
No, I just wish he was as good a shooter as Steph's brother-in-law.
Michelle, thank you for being here, by the way. The civilization you bring to the show is just... Like the truth and honesty and fairness that, you bring.
I believe you.
I think it's been more chaotic with Michelle, but I'm for that. Michelle, are you afraid of the Warriors? Are they scary?
Well, I've no horse in the race, seeing as the Spurs are just a young rebuilding team right
Spurs.
Now.
But
that's
funny.
Being said, I love the Warriors. First of all, I don't care about many, many things, but I find myself being legitimately anxious about Klay's return. I just want him to return and stay. And that makes me nervous. But I also think the Warriors are in the best case scenario because they're in a state where all anybody ever wants to talk about are the Lakers and then behind that, the Clippers. And I think that's the perfect formula for a Steph Curry because even though he's smiley and will always look like a child to me, he uses all that. He has to use all that. He has to be watching this Lakers team put together by a player on the team struggle and sit there and laugh and think, you know what? I'm going to keep our team coasting. And as soon as Klay gets back, it'll be a whole new thing. The world's given up on us. No one talks about us like they used to. And rightfully so, that's sports. But I think they're in the best case scenario. I think they can quietly do what they have to do and surprise some people at the end of this thing.
Jay, are you buying the Warriors?
Yes. I am absolutely buying the Warriors. They are a legitimate title contender as long as Klay comes back. Reasonable. I don't even think he needs to be like Klay.
What percentage?
If he's
75,
he could just be Jordan Poole.
Yes. Could he be 72%? He'll be okay.
Jordan Poole's 92.
If he's 80-85%, as long as he can hold up defensively, that's a big thing for them. He's going to need
to guard some great players. I don't want him playing no defense. Not after 2 years off and an Achilles and an ACL. Don't be doing that. You better be Andre Miller, Clay, when you get back. I want to see Andre Miller.
If I was Clay Thompson, I wouldn't do it the rest of my career. Just shoot. That's all you got to do.
But they've been able to pile up wins while Jordan Poole kind of adjusts to the NBA. Like, he was very bad for like a little while. He's
fifth player. Why do we keep talking about Jordan Poole every fucking week?
You're right. We should stop talking about
him. I need y'all to actually watch the game.
Let's stop talking about Jordan Poole. Let's talk about Draymond Green. Draymond Green, who deserves to be Defensive Player of the Year at this stage. I think he should have been it last year, honestly, for coaxing that group to the defensive ranking they had. I think they were fifth in the NBA last season. Yeah. They're first by a significant margin right now, even though they play a number of guys who you wouldn't look at and be like, yeah, that guy's a great defender. Draymond just brings everything together. He's playing at another level this year. His energy is like absolutely crazy after a couple of years when he was a little up and down with that. So let's talk about Draymond now.
Michelle, are you in on the Draymond Green hype train?
I've always been in on the Draymond Green hype train. I'm excited for him as a player. I'm excited for him when he's done playing. I just like the honesty. I like that he doesn't give a crap about what anybody else thinks. It's a very refreshing way to live one's life, and you don't see it very often amongst athletes. So, yeah, no, I will always root. Even when he was against the Spurs, you know, probably I hated him a little, but I always respect
him. Love
so, him. He's hard not to love. Like, I think he's a love-hate guy, but if you hate him, then there's something wrong with you, and you're not being honest.
Breaking news. I just got...
I thought something real.
I just got access to the Ivy Park Peloton release. I could start buying now. So I'm about to do a little Christmas shopping because, you know, it's not out yet, but I get the early one because I'm an Adidas whatever member, right? So...
You got to get Unc Thompson.
What just happened? What are you talking about?
Yo, this is exciting, yo. I get to buy my wife a gift right now.
Like, are you buying me a Peloton?
Yeah, do we get
to? No, it's the Ivy Park Peloton collaboration, right?
Beyonce.
So
yeah, I'm in on Beyonce, like, fan. Okay. Yeah, I mean, sure.
I'm not going to buy my wife Beyonce's internet stuff.
And say something rude about her. I know better.
No, don't.
I'm excited, but I don't understand how this benefits any of us.
It benefits me, which means it benefits you because my happiness should provide you some happiness.
Is the book that I still don't have a copy of, is that really selling to the point you're just buying Beyonce Pelotons left and right?
I mean, you know, this stuff is going to sell right away. So, like, the fact that I got
I've never seen a man so excited to buy Beyonce's
book. Let's go.
Me neither. This is nice to watch.
Does she deliver it? Like, what's the...
Please don't start there. Come on. Does she? What?
What if she did? What if one lucky person who bought something...
I would buy...
One Beyonce...
I'm sure it'll ruin a marriage or two.
Well...
The way the husband is drooling when she comes to the door. Look,
Marcus, I'm a very confident person. I would try. I wouldn't expect it to ruin anything here. I don't think...
you don't have a shot, but, you know, just the idea of your husband at the door drooling, like, yo.
Right. Use that.
There it is. There's no way to transition here, so take four.
I don't know.
LeHuman James, quote... Jade, I really need some production here. I need some dramatic music. To me, it's the first time in my life, and I've known LeBron since he was 15 years old, where LeBron looks human, end quote. That was JJ Redick. Funny, I vaguely recall LeBron getting hauled off the court in San Antonio because he had leg cramps. Once upon a time, but, you know, I digress. We don't need to bring that up.
Hot.
It was hot. It was hot. We needed the air conditioning. Drama aside, though, just last week, Lakers appeared to have things on track. After starting the season 0-2, they went on a 5-of-6 game stretch, and that was capped off by a win in which LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook combined for 84 points. Even Carmelo had 15 off the bench.
It was popping tonight.
But things quickly turned as James missed his next two games, both losses, with a rectus abdominis.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it.
Just means abs. Why does rectus mean abs? But that's what it is. The Lakers are now 6-5, 8th in the West. Jade, I need some more dramatic music.
Do it.
LeBron James hasn't remained on the court for an extended period of time during the early stages of the season and may now miss up to 4 weeks with this rectus abdominis strain. And if James is out, I just like saying rectus abdominis. And if James is out that long, that could seriously dampen the Lakers' playoff and title aspirations. One wonders if Space Jam 3 is already in production. Who knows?
Wow. Please, no.
Michelle!
Don't do it.
How much money do you have to not make to make a three?
Michelle, how worried are you about the Lakers without LeBron James?
Oh, the things that keep me up at night. Famine, war, the Lakers.
I thought you said salmon at first. I was like, really?
Oh, salmon?
Salmon
too.
Like, maybe yeah, stop
the
like,
yeah, right.
Why do you eat salmon so late anyway, right?
Salmon and famine. That's what I worry about the most. No, I don't. Personally, I root for their demise. I root for the chaos in the Lakers organization. I think that this experiment is one that's fun to watch from the outside looking in, where you just get a bunch of old dudes and big names and put them all together and see what happens. So sure, I'm sure they would love to have LeBron James out there. But for the haters, myself very much included, this is more entertaining to watch than if they were good at all. I love this and I hope it does fail. And I think I speak for millions when I say that.
Wow. Jay, you are very anti-Russell Westbrook. Are you enjoying this?
What?
I am not enjoying this because it's gross to watch. They are gross to watch, partly because of Russ.
They're gross?
Here's the thing. Here's
he
the thing.
He said it like LeBron, they were late-night salmon or something.
Yeah, just like
a lot of salmon references here.
So much.
Here's the thing. LeBron is human now. He has not finished. He has basically not finished two of the last three seasons because of injuries. And he was very bad in the playoffs against the Suns last year. He needs a roster that makes things a little easier for him. He's not going to be dragging Sasha Pavlovich and Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Anderson Varejão to finals appearances anymore. The Lakers need him to be healthy at the right time. Like, he's not going to just come in and scorch the earth all the time. But I think by getting Russ, by building the roster they did that's old and not very athletic and doesn't have very many shooters, I think they're 24th in three-point attempts right now, they haven't done him any favors. They haven't made the game any easier for him. And I just think that's a huge mistake by the Lakers organization because he's not quite the same as he used to be. And he could use, like, just lowering the level of difficulty a little bit. Yeah, why let that guy go? Why?
No, they just wouldn't give him any money. Like, he came with that Bulls offer. Is like, can you do anything close to that? Like, nah, you're good. Enjoy the Windy City. That's it.
Have at it, buddy.
Yeah.
And it's not like that gave them flexibility to do anything else. It was just, we'd rather not pay this guy.
Marcus. This was supposed to be like, all right, 2 years ago when they won the title, it was, wow, this team falls off a cliff when LeBron's not on the floor. And then last year, like, hey, we'll go get Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, two of the top three six men in the year the previous season. That'll fix it. And then they fell off a cliff when LeBron wasn't on the floor. And so then they're like, fuck it, we'll get Russ. Why not? Right? Hashtag all that stuff. And we'll bring him in. And they fall off a cliff when he's not on the floor. Is there a way to have LeBron on a team and you're still good when he's not on the floor?
Yeah, reunite with Kyrie. Put him with.
No, they weren't good. They weren't good when
they
he didn't play.
They were bad with Kyrie on the floor. They were bad. Like,
not all right. They were all right. I mean, he was at least available, right? Like, he was on the floor.
They were like 4-21.
I don't. There's a bit of a problem is in who they select, clearly, right? They aren't getting guys who, you know, can thrive in that situation. But another problem is when the whole thing is set up around LeBron and his strengths and his talents, why would it work for somebody else, right? It's almost like asking someone else to run a LeBron offense or to run a LeBron system. And it's far too difficult to create a second system, right? Like, all right, for 12 minutes a game, we're going to run a completely different system to fit. Like
the Austin Reeves system.
Exactly, right? So it's the catch 22. The problem is, look, the answer is just LeBron. You just need to play. Like, bottom line, like, you just need to play.
And that's it.
I mean, I'm sorry you're human. I'm sorry, you know, but that's
get
what it
your
is.
Rectus abdominis in order and get back on the court. Like, that's the only option here.
You're going to be in a 7-seed. You're going to be in a playing game, and he may not make that. He may not hit the one in the middle this time. Like,
you know what?
They're going to figure a lot of things out, though. Like, LeBron and Russell Westbrook are not an easy fit, but they're going to get better and better as the season goes along. As long as they stay healthy.
It can't get any worse. I just want to take this quick little moment. Back in 2012, when a young, wide-eyed, unibrowed Anthony Davis was coming into the league, and everyone was like, oh, it's the next Kevin Garnett. And I was like, everyone pump the brakes on this, okay? He's not the next Kevin Garnett. And I just want to remind everyone, when LeBron's not on the floor, that team sucks, even if Anthony Davis is out there. And I just want to maybe a retroactive apology from 9 years ago.
Are you taking a victory lap for a take you had that 9 years ago?
Nine years ago.
And it's not like he's flopped. Like, he's been very, very good at basketball.
Yeah, no, he's been very good individually.
I'm not sure about this victory.
He's been very good individually.
He's not dominant. Is that what you want?
His teams just don't do anything unless LeBron James is involved. Or Drew Holiday eats the lunch of one Damian Lillard for this, in the playoffs. By the way,
do we have receipts for this?
Yeah, it's twitter.com/talkhoops. Yeah, there's about 300,000 tweets. You scroll back and see when you get there.
You've been scrubbed your Twitter. Were you even on Twitter in 2012?
This is one of the wilder victories I've been
on since like late 08.
He's only been a Hall of Famer.
I haven't had a life in 13 years, Marcus, okay? Yes, I've been on Twitter. I'm about that Twitter life, all right?
Oh, yeah. It tells you. I didn't know. I've been on since 09.
Yeah, see? Look at this. Couple of OGs in the building. Wow. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see. Now I want to know when I've been. When did I get on? Because
you have a life, Michelle.
Yeah, check it out. It's like on your birthday.
I want to see that.
I had no idea.
All right. Speaking of blame.
January 09. Look at that. January. Oh, let's go. Class of 09. We with it.
Take five. Blame the refs. Damian Lillard and the Blazers are off to a slow start to the season and have fallen to 5-6 after losing to the Clippers on Tuesday night. After the game, Lillard spoke to reporters and said this: the way the game is being officiated is unacceptable. Jade, play the tape.
I don't want to go too deep into it so they make a big deal out of it, but the explanations, the shit that's getting missed, I mean, come on, man, it's... I felt like coming in, the rule change wouldn't affect me because I don't do the trick to referees. I don't do the trick plays. It just is unacceptable.
But the explanations, the shit that's getting missed, I mean, come on. The NBA directed referees to stop calling fouls on non-basketball related moves. However, some players have a sense that with that, the referees are allowing a whole new level of physicality from defenders. Imagine the horror. It's not just the non-basketball moves that are not drawing a whistle. Actual fouls are going uncalled as well. James Harden has been the most vocal critic of the new officiating style. And when he did get a call Monday night, it led to sarcastic cheers from him and his teammates. Jade, play the tape.
Harden, the breakdown. Looked like he got fouled. No call. And Steve Nash is saying, what are you doing? I mean, the Nets are beyond frustrated. Kevin Durant is out on the floor defending his teammate because... this is an accumulation.
That's what it is. And it's an accumulation. And I think you look at a couple calls early on in this game, but this is what Harden has been experienced throughout the course of the early part of the season.
Jay, is this sour grapes or is it a suck it up, buddy, get out there and play like a man situation?
Well, here's the thing. The league has gone out of its way to make the game easier for players like Damian Lillard for years. Finally, they're going in the other way. And yeah, it's going to be frustrating to guys like Damian Lillard, whose free throw attempts are going to plummet. And yeah, it's going to stink for some of the other skilled guards. But they've got to figure it out. I think the game needed physicality. The game needed more defense. The game needed ways to stop guys like Dame, who were just bending defenses and doing what they wanted and getting all the calls while doing it. He and Trae Young were just, it was bad. And Dame, I shouldn't put him in that category because he doesn't go out of his way like Trae Young does to get calls. But at the same time, like, physicality should matter. Strength should matter. Defense should be a little easier than it has been in the past few years. So I'm all aboard for the changes, but I get why Dame is frustrated that some of the fouls that he's gotten in the past just aren't being called anymore.
Michelle, do you think that's a reason he shot like 35% for the season?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not just free throws that are affecting him and his team. But that being said, look, nobody likes change. I mean, you live your life doing it a certain way and you were getting certain calls and you were used to that. And you're a superstar in the league, yada, yada. And then basically overnight, all of that changes. I can see the frustration. And on top of that, the team's not doing well. And so, yeah, it's basically a perfect storm. What I don't want to see, and I hope this isn't the beginning of that, is this idea that, you know, the Trailblazers are going to lose Lillard at some point. Because in my mind, I always just thought he's that one guy. He's just going to stay in Portland. He's going to do his whole career there. They're going to figure out a way to win around him and be great and let him be great and retire a Trailblazer. For me, this feels very sort of like it's beginning to fray and it's the beginning of what could be the end. And I don't want that. But the rules change. The ball changed. Lots of things change. It happens every season in every sport. It just takes a little time to get used to. If it was just free throws that was making them slump, maybe, but it's not.
Unrelated, maybe this Neil O'Shea business is a little timely here if we're worried about Dame maybe wanting to get out of there. Marcus, where's Damian Lillard from? I can't remember.
Damian Lillard is from East Oakland.
Oh, that's right. And where are you from?
East Oakland.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. What are your thoughts on this Damian Lillard complaint?
I'm gonna yield my time to the gentleman from Massachusetts because I don't criticize people from Oakland.
You could just give an opinion. It's just an opinion.
Now, I believe this is a product of a larger issue, right? I think he clearly was frustrated by some of the calls, but his willingness to voice them, I think, is a product of a larger issue. He's frustrated. You know, they're not doing well. He's missing shots. Like, he's missing Damian Lillard shots, right? The shots that he makes. And, I mean, Charles Barkley was saying he's not committed. I think Shaq said it best when he was like, he doesn't look happy. He doesn't look happy to be playing there. It is a lot. It is a lot to process. And once again, you know, they start off the year and they look like a team that won't get over the hump, right? There's nothing about Portland so far where you're like, uh-oh, this might be the year. Like, nah, it's like, okay, here we go again. So I get it. I feel him. I don't think the issue is, you know, how he's being refereed. And I'm with you, Jay, 1,000%. This is long overdue, and they need to suck it up. Because this idea that you can't touch a dude because he's dribbling, but you can do all kind of stuff if he's not, is ridiculous in the first place. So, yeah, they got to suck it up. And Dame's going to have to suck it up with the rest of them.
You know who's going to be loving this? Oscar Robertson. Because all the old guys are just like, oh, these young guys couldn't handle physicality and all this stuff. And then look, we're getting some physicality, Michelle. And all of a sudden, like, Trae Young's struggling, James Harden's struggling. I mean, Oscar's not going to be happy that Steph's not struggling. But other than that, like, oh, everyone else crazy. Struggling.
He's like, come on, just press crazy. Up on him. Yeah. What are you doing?
Oh, I love it. And every caller in every show across the land who plays some pickup games is loving it. Because they're all tougher than everybody in the NBA. So it's super fun to listen to on a daily basis.
I mean, aren't we though? So, like, we're actually playing on a blacktop, and you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have pregame meals. No, like, really? We out here in these streets, man. Like,
no naps. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, well, yeah. Come on.
Well, I mean, I take a nap every day.
Adults don't usually. Yeah.
But you ain't a hooper like that.
You're right, because I think hoopers cross the 3-point line. I don't do that shit. 3-point line to 3-point line. That's all you need. You don't need to play all this defense and all that crap. No, we don't cross the 3-point line. You go 3-point line to 3-point line. That is our safe zone. You pull up. If someone goes by you, that's what you got teammates for. Just point. Say, hey, help.
The Dame explosion is coming. Be ready.
Oh, is that a warning for defenders or the Blazers?
Both.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. We have Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, The Daily Ding, the NBA Daily Ding, which is, of course, right here on the Athletic NBA Show feed. And if I may, starting 11:15, the old November 15th, What Did I Miss? Monday, Wednesday, Friday with Michelle Beadle. How about that?
A lot of days.
What can we expect? What's a preview, Michelle?
I just want it to be like what y'all do. Like, I just want it to be a hang. I want it to be fun and not so serious all the time, except for maybe those handful of days where it gets a little bit serious because the world is. Sure. But other than that, I just want it to be fun again. I miss fun. So that's
why I'm coming to kick weird. It. Uninvited or not, I'm just crashing it. We just going to come talk.
No. I'm bugging all
y'all.
Yeah,
so.
No.
Got it by Uncle Tom.
You know what? Michelle, I accept the role as co-host. We don't have time for you to respond here, so I just want to remind people to subscribe to the Athletic.
Muter.
Jay, cut the feed.
Subscribe to the Athletic. Bye.